Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is our main verse in this long series on how to avoid temptation, how to overcome temptation. The Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And we're also reading at this time 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot or a whore is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." And in two places that I read, this involved not just physical contact, but the mingling of the personalities. "For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So verse 18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of your holy word that we have read this morning. And this early afternoon, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts from your holy word and make it live within us and make permanent changes within us, that our lives would not become shipwrecked as so many have become down through the years. Lord, help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Lord, we cannot function without your unction. Grant us your grace, your anointing, your unction, afresh and anew, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach and to proclaim your holy word, to help others who are saved, to save others who are not saved. And Lord, that is all your business. It is just my business to obey you and proclaim what you have written. And I pray that you would continue to take it and multiply it thousands of times over and open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save that soul that is nearest hell, and reclaim every backslidden Christian. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in our last season or lesson, we talked about the spiritual implications of sexual sin. You know, sex is very powerful and very spiritual, even though it is very physical on our end. But God chooses to bring another soul into the world through sex. That's how you got here, by the way. In the words of Charlie Shedd, the stork is dead, and we need to stop lying to our children saying that a stork brought you. We came by the power and might and miracle of miraculous work of God through physical sex. And so a soul and a spirit is brought into this world through the vehicle of sex between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, as the world is trying to do today, and a woman and a woman and all of this foolishness that's going on in the world today. God help us and God deliver us. If you had common sense, you know that it is not God's will for two men to be together and two women to be together. Don't you get mad at me. I'm just proclaiming to you what the Word of God says. And so, if we commit sexual sin, beloved, with our bodies, it is offensive to the Lord, because our bodies belong to Him and are to be dedicated to His service. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said we ought to avoid fornication for the sake of God the Father. God created our bodies, and one day He will resurrect our bodies in glory. In view of the fact that our bodies have such a wonderful origin and an even more wonderful future, how can we use our bodies for such evil purposes? My God, my God. The Corinthians had two arguments to defend their sensuality, as we do today. First, all things are lawful unto me. This was a popular phrase in Corinth based on a false view of Christian freedom. We have not been set free so that we can enter into a new kind of bondage. As Christians, we must ask ourselves, will this enslave me in some way? And you mark my words, young ladies and young men, it will enslave you. I cannot tell you the number of young women who were virgins and raised in church for the glory of God, but got tricked, got bamboozled by some joker to convince them to have sex out on the couch. And she never looked back. She was turned on and got to the point where she had to have it. This might be where Spike Lee got his title for his first movie, She's Got to Have It. And so it's best not to turn on that spigot. Just keep yourself pure until you get married. And on next week, maybe the week after that, I'll be sharing with you how that if you don't, you will pay for it if you ever get married, inside your marriage, be you male or female. And the same thing for the boys. Once they got turned on to sex, it was all over. And present company included, moi included. I'm a fool. Before I got saved, I was engaged in this, and there's a price to pay for fornication. So nobody's picking on you. No one is trying to steal your fun. I'm trying to save your life, your spiritual life, especially for young women. They suffer more than the boys do. It ought not to be that way, but it is. Emotionally, most men can shake it, shake the emotions off. Most women cannot. And they carry that man, that boy, that young man into their marriage bed. And all kinds of problems come out of that. Will this enslave me? Is this activity really profitable, he continues, for my spiritual life? Their second argument, Worsby points out, was meats for the belly and the belly for meats. They treated sex as an appetite to be satisfied and not as a gift to be cherished and used carefully. And the truth of the matter is, in our Gentile American culture, and even now some of our Jewish friends are the same, we have no concept of treating marriage, or rather treating sex, as a cherished thing. Most men do not. I hope to God some women still see it that way, but most men, I don't know a man, I don't care if he is a preacher, who sees it that way, except for maybe Russell Moore or Tony Evans or somebody like that. But most men don't. And by the way, young ladies and married women, you're the gatekeeper. You're going to have to tame those dogs, those men rather. You got to say no. I was watching a classic film recently, and the husband invited his boss over to his house. His wife, of course, was beautiful, and the husband and the boss got drunk. The husband went out to get some more liquor, and sure enough, the boss started hitting on the man's wife. But thankfully, if you will, the woman held her ground. She basically said, "No, sir, I cannot do this evil against my husband." And he was persistent. She said, "No, sir, that can't happen. No way, shape, form, or fashion." And she stood her ground, and that's the only reason why nothing happened. That's the only reason why, because he was determined. Sensuality is to sex what gluttony is to eating. Both are sinful and both bring disastrous consequences. Just because we have certain normal desires given by God at creation does not mean that we must give in to them and always satisfy them. Sex outside of marriage is destructive. While sex in marriage can be creative and beautiful, there may be excitement and enjoyment in sexual experience outside of marriage, no doubt, but there is not enrichment. There's no lasting blessing in it. Sex outside of marriage is like a man robbing a bank. Worsby continues, he gets something, but it is not his, and he will one day pay for it, and not only that, I'll add, he cannot enjoy it. Sex within marriage can be like a person putting money into a bank. There is safety, security, and he will collect dividends. Sex within marriage can build a relationship that brings joys in the future, but listen very carefully, but sex apart from marriage has a way of weakening future relationships big time. As every Christian marriage counselor will tell you. End of quote. But God is not just concerned about how we treat our bodies for our own sake. God is concerned about how we treat our bodies rather for His own sake. He is concerned about how we treat our bodies for our sakes as well. Amen, somebody. You will listen to me today if you love yourself. If you feel like you're not worth anything, like so many young women feel like today, that you want to just give your body to some man to make you feel like you're worthy. In this same film, the two ladies, the wife and another lady, they were sharing how they both are married, the other one is pregnant. They're both sitting down as women talk. And the wife said, you know, certain men look at me in certain ways. And even though I'm married, I really like it. And she actually said, if I have a man look at me like that, like he wants me, even if it's not my husband, I am earning my keep. In other words, I'm doing a good job keeping myself together. The other lady who was pregnant, about 6 months pregnant, she said, yeah. And she was eating at the same time. She said, yeah. She said, I love for men to look at me like that too. Ladies, today, you must understand your worth does not come from how a man looks at you or the slick little words they say to you, because you're going to feel absolutely worthless if you give in to what they really want to do with you, and they want to have sex with you at any cost for no cost, no commitment, no marriage band. Even Beyonce and Jay-Z got enough sense to put a ring on it. No $18,000 ring, no $1,800 ring, no $800 ring, no $8 ring, nothing. You're just going to, as one lady said, I believe her name is Yana Van Zandt, girl, don't give it away. It's too precious. Don't give it away. Don't look at yourself so cheaply and so unworthy. You are valuable. And the same thing for you boys, you young folk. I had a dear brother in Christ and raising his son, and he emphasized that he had a girlfriend. He was concerned. He had a girlfriend. He's probably on his way becoming something very, very great, and I'm not going to say what it is because he might get on my case. But he was on a great path, but he kept saying, but he has a girlfriend. And he said, let me tell you something, son. Now, you fool around and you let that girlfriend trap you with a baby, that won't be happening up in here. That'll be the day you got to go. You will not have a credit card from me. You will not have an expense account with me. Uber charges to my card. You and your girlfriend and your baby got to get up out of here, and you better find a job, and your dream is done. So many young men have messed up their lives and hampered their lives because in this day and time, they're going to get you for that money for 18 years. Oh, yes, they will. They're going to get you. They don't care what kind of job you have, and if you don't pay that money, they're going to put you in jail. And then you're going to say to the judge, well, if I can stay out of jail, I can make the money. Well, we let you stay out of jail for 3 years and you never paid the money. So we're going to get it from you another way. Having sex out of marriage can mess you up, but sadly, it can mess others up. Just the same. In verse 18, Paul says, flee fornication. Run from it. Get away from it. The Greek word translated as flee means to escape, to seek safety by running away. Get away from it. Don't even come close to it. And if that joker ever tries to hint at coming over your house, he just want to his television now, he wants to watch the game and all kinds of tricks like that. Don't you fall for that. Because once you get that dog in the house, once that dog gets in the house, that's going to be it. It's going to be on the couch and then in the bed. And there's nothing you can say about it or do about it, and you're going to have a lifetime of regret. Don't you get mad with me. I'm just telling you the truth. And every young lady who has messed up her life with that will tell you that I'm telling you the truth, and every young man would too if they're Christians, if they're saved now. It means to shun or avoid something abhorrent. One is reminded of Joseph and how he fled when Potiphar's wife was laying the heat on him and was trying to draw him into an adulterous relationship against his authority figure. That is the reaction we should have to the temptation of lust and sexual sin. We should run from it as fast as we can by the grace of God. If you are in a wheelchair there, roll away as fast as you can, whatever you have to do. Get ye up out of there. Paul continues, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It's mighty quiet in here. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. Mighty quiet when you start preaching on this sort of thing. I have there was a person in my church, in another church years ago, I was preaching in, and she said, I wish you would stop preaching against sin so much, and preaching against especially adultery and fornication, sexual sins, and so on. Why you always got to preach against that? Because that's what you're doing. And that's what you're doing especially. That's why you are coming to me trying to get me to stop. Most sins that we commit hurt someone else. That's the sad part, or the saddest part. Even though we do them with our bodies, it is someone else who is being acted upon. My God, help us. But with sexual sin, not only are we doing it with our bodies, but we are doing it to our bodies. My. We are literally committing a crime against ourselves. We are robbing ourselves. We are shooting ourselves. We are stabbing ourselves, if you would. Many who have contracted sexually transmitted diseases can testify to this. I thank God, it's not because I have been a good person, but I thank God I've never had a sexually transmitted disease in my life. God has had mercy on me and spared me that. I thank God I don't have a lifelong sexually transmitted disease. That's living with hell on earth as far as I'm concerned. And it's not because I have been good, it's because God has been good. But I saw a sign the other day. It was STDs.com, an explosion of syphilis. I said, "Oh my soul, what is this? This was on the highway just the other day. on a big old billboard. There's an explosion of syphilis. Contact us, std.com. Oh, wow. Wow. What? I'm not even living in that world, thank God, by the grace of God. I have no idea what you're talking about. An explosion of syphilis? These things were rare at one time. Women now got syphilis and gonorrhea, not only in their private area, but in their mouths, and all kinds of ungodliness and filth is going on. You better be careful. Ladies and gentlemen, you better be careful. And some of you ladies need to be careful with these download dogs who are homosexuals, but they want to defile you with their AIDS infested bodies. They want to mess your life up and take away your purity and see you destruct down to the ground because they hate you. They love other stinking, filthy, nasty men. They hate you. And so they don't mind using your body to defile it. They get great satisfaction out of doing that, these homosexual devils, and you tell them I said it. Download dogs have defiled and messed up many women with AIDS. Babies have AIDS. Others have experienced spiritual, and here's where many of the young ladies come in at. Others have experienced spiritual, emotional, psychological problems, as well as heartache, heartbreak. And there's no pain on earth, they tell me, like heartbreak. You can't take an aspirin and get rid of heartbreak. You can't take an Excedrin and get rid of heartbreak. You can't go to the doctor and get an operation telling the doctor, please cut out the heartbreak. You have to lie there in a fetal position and hope that you sleep so long that you don't wake up. Women and men, and women suffer this more, this type of thing, more than men do, and pain because of sexual relations that should have never taken place. Please listen to what Dr. John MacArthur, a prophet in our time, said about it. He said, although sexual sin is not necessarily the worst sin, all sin is the worst, of course, it is the most unique sin in its character. It arises from within the body, bent on personal gratification. It drives like no other impulse, and when fulfilled, affects the body like no other sin. It has a way of internally destroying a person that no other sin has. My God, help us. Because sexual intimacy is the deepest uniting of two persons. Its misuse corrupts on the deepest human level. That is not a psychological analysis necessarily, but a divinely revealed fact. Sexual immorality is far more destructive than alcohol, far more destructive than drugs, far more destructive than crime. My God, help us. And may God help you. End of quote. So, beloved, a great motivating factor in avoiding, that is, fleeing lust and sexual sin, is the simple matter of self-preservation. I have always told my children, if you don't want to be wise, at least be smart. I hope you get that by freight if you don't get it right now. If you don't want to be wise, at least be smart and protect yourself from that which will destroy you or hurt you. One of the things I never wanted to do was raise fools. I wanted my children to at least have enough sense not to bring harm to yourself. At least that. Not to be the kind of person who keeps on going back for the punishment because they refuse to obey. That's what you call a fool. When you know better, when you know you're going to be chastised and you know that you're going to be rebuked, you know you're going to be tied up in a fetal position in your bed for the next 6 to 10 years or more by doing such evil, yet you go in for the punishment again and again and again. That's foolishness. So if you're not going to be wise like God would like for you to be, at least be smart. Don't let anybody do that to you. Take precautions. Yes, I still believe that young women ought to stay home until they get married. God can give them a husband right from home. You don't have to go out there searching for a husband. God can do anything he wants to do for you wherever you are. So many thousands of women itching to get out the house jumped out of the frying pan right into the fire. So many men, young men, have done the same. If we want to avoid hurting ourselves, we must resist this temptation and stand strong on the word of God and say, and make up your mind from the jump what you're going to do when you're tempted, because you will be tempted. And sadly, some people put themselves in the way of temptation because they act foolishly. And they think that everything is going to be all right. Oh, he seems to be a nice man. He has a nice little crew cut and so forth. He has a little bow tie on. And he might be the biggest devil, yes, in the church. The bow tie gives him away a little bit. He might be a down low devil from hell, ready to ruin your life in multiple ways. Don't be a fool. Don't let people take away your blessings. And by the way, right now we are grappling with a situation right here in the DFW. Young girl, 14 years old, simply walking her favorite loving pet down the street near a dog park. Near a dog park. You listen to me, young ladies, and you listen to me well. You can get mad, glad, or sad about it. You can think all you want to, like some foolish women think, that men are nice and they're sweet and they're wonderful. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. Men want to do very destructive things to your body. Right now, this young lady is dead. Someone took her dog, tied her dog up, and took her and evidently raped her and killed her. It happens every day in this country called America. This is no joke. And with pornography on every device, men don't see you, ladies, as they may have used to see you in the past. And that was bad. This is worse. They see you as a piece of meat, and all they want to do is rape you and then toss you aside, not caring about your feelings, not caring about your emotions, not caring about your degrees, not caring about your dreams, not caring about your career. It's happening all over. Lives are being devastated and destroyed. And yes, those jokers, their lives are being destroyed as well. And if they don't get it on this side, they'll get it in hell. So, dear friend, if you're struggling with lust and sexual sin, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face this awful temptation. Holy Father God is mighty quiet in here today. That lets me know that you've been working. And we praise you and we thank you, at least I do, for your holy word. For I know that there are many who don't want to hear this. But it's true, and they know it's true. And Lord, it is sad that some people have already messed up their lives and they have the mental, they have the sick mentality of saying, well, I've already messed up my life. I might as well just keep on doing the evil I'm doing, even though I suffer guilt and more guilt every time I do it. Lord, if they are saved, help them to repent. Help them to turn from their evil ways. In fact, Lord, as you know better than we do, one of the biggest sins in the church today is fornication and adultery. And pastors, oftentimes, many pastors, to keep the machinery going, overlook it and never confront it until there's a blow up. And so, Holy Father God, help us in your church to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our evil ways and to humble ourselves. And we pray that you would revive us again. And Lord, help us, if we're not going to do it because we love you, as we should, help us to do it because we love ourselves and we don't want to go through the awful pain and shame that awaits us if we continue in this sin. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, before I depart from you or from this service and we go into our next service, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you just heard this message and you have never trusted Christ as Savior, this is the beginning of your delivery. The only somebody who delivered me from fornication and all other sin is Jesus Christ. And even since I have been saved, I have not been perfect. But Jesus Christ has made all of the difference in my life, and he will make all of the difference in your life. And you will not be perfect either. But you will not continue in sin. By the way, no Christian will continue in such sins. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, born again. And dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you're willing to pray with me and ask God to save your soul through your faith in Christ, I'll be glad to lead you in that, what we call, sinner's prayer. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wretched and undone sinner, and that I've done bad things in my life against you, in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, your holy Son, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was buried and rose again for me. Lord Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me permanently from the inside out. And help me to repent of my sins past. and to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving, trusting, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.